This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. Welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can listen to my program, to this program, on my website. I can give you a copy of it on a CD. You can leave me prayer requests. You can do that by regular mail or through my website. So if you'd like to have those addresses, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write them down at the close of the program. Now again today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at the actual birth of John the Baptist. We have looked at how Zacharias had gone into the temple to offer incense, and an angel had told him that John would be born. He had questioned how that could be, since he was too old to have children and his wife was too old to have children, and then he was made to be deaf and dumb. Bible says dumb, but since it appears he may have been both deaf and dumb, until Elizabeth herself names the baby John, and then through signs and a writing tablet, they managed to find out what Zacharias wants the baby to be named, and according to prophecy, he was called John. And so as we go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 57, we want to read this story. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day, this was the day when males were to be circumcised, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, that they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he should be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child is this?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of this section of God's word to us. It's interesting that the birth of John, with the assignment of his name prophetically, was a sign for the Jews. The Jews are always looking for a sign that God is speaking. I think if we were to go to 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, and the Greeks are you and me. And what this simply means is that for the Jew, in order to know that God is in something, they had to have some kind of miraculous sign. And that's one of the reasons there are so many miracles in the first part of the book of Acts, and so few when Paul begins to work with the Gentiles. You know as well as I do that we Gentiles have to have things make sense, and because of that, many people have rejected the miracle of creation. They've rejected the miracle of Jonah being swallowed by a great fish. They've rejected the miracles of the New Testament. They've rejected the miracles of the resurrection, because in our natural minds as Gentiles, these things just simply don't usually happen, and so it's hard for us to accept them. But the Jewish mind was different. If they could be convinced through a sign that God was speaking, then they believed what the prophet was saying. Now, that really wasn't the way a prophet was to be, if we can use the word, authenticated as a true prophet. The way he was to be seen as a true prophet is if what he proclaimed came to pass. Now, the difficulty with that particular approach is that some prophecies are short-term, and we can see right away whether they are going to come to pass, but some prophecies are long-term, such as the Lord himself when he said that he would come again, and it's been 2,000 years since he made the promise, and there are some people who think that because of that he's an imposter and a fraud, that he never will come again. He didn't tell us when he would come again, but it's a little hard because of the time element involved to make sure that what the Lord told us was true from the standpoint of seeing the prophecy come to pass. But as far as the Jews were concerned, they were told in the Old Testament that when a prophet prophesied, if his prophecy did not come to pass, then he was a false prophet. And of course, many of those prophecies in the Old Testament had to do with coming judgment on Israel because of the fact that Israel had turned to idols from God. And now in the New Testament, John is starting this ministry that we would call the ministry of repentance. Many people misunderstand what repentance is. Repentance is the opposite side of faith. Repentance is a turn. It's a change of mind, really, that causes us to turn. And in 1 Thessalonians 1, I often quote the verse that says that the Thessalonians turned from idols to God to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. They repented. The repentance that we preach often today is sort of like a religion, and we give people the impression that they aren't ready to be saved until all of their sins have been nailed to the mast and they've turned away from them. The difficulty with that is that we don't know all of our sins when we're first saved. But we do know that we argue with God about how to be saved. We argue with God about what we do know about God. And until we come to that place where we can accept what God says in simple, trusting faith, we can't really believe him. And so most of our gospel preaching is like John the Baptist. He was telling the people, you've got to change your mind about who you serve. You've got to change your mind about who God is. And if you change your mind and turn back to the living God, the one that delivered you out of the land of Egypt, if you'll turn back to the one who established David upon the throne, if you'll turn back to him, then the Lord will bless you. And he's really telling the people that now you're going to be given the chance to serve the living God, and you're going to see him face to face. The Lord Jesus is going to be born. And so he's telling people to get ready for him to come. And the end result of getting ready is that they will truly believe in the manifestation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so the question was, were they going to repent and accept the Lord Jesus, or were they going to go their own stubborn way and not accept him? People often forget that the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so perishing, keeping from perishing, is associated with repenting. But yet in John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now faith keeps us from perishing, so it's quite clear that when we have truly repented, we have quit arguing with God and have accepted what he has said. We have believed in him, and we can't believe in him until we repent. That doesn't mean that we become sinless. If that were the case, we wouldn't need all of the New Testament epistles that were written. But we do worship the Lord through the Lord Jesus. We do worship God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we worship him alone. So we have, John's message was a message of repentance, and the signs associated with John the Baptist's birth was the first thing that should have convinced the Jews that the Lord was in fact who he claimed to be. And then we're going to see that they should have been convinced through the miraculous birth of the Lord himself, but later through his miraculous resurrection after he had died for our sins. So he was born while John the Baptist was a child of promise. Yeah, he was born normally, and they brought forth this son. But when they went to name him, they were Elizabeth wanted to name him John. And we find in the early part of the chapter that one of the things Zacharias was told was that he shall be called John. I've tried to find what the word John means, and as near as I can tell, it means that God is gracious. We would think that John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry that was harsh at times because he told the people how that they had sinned against God and they needed to repent and turn to God. And the evidence of that would be the same evidence that we find when we have faith in God, that there would be a change in the things that they did. There would be works brought forth fitting for repentance. And so sometimes we would think that John the Baptist was being a bit harsh, but his name means God is gracious, and the fact that God was giving his people the opportunity to trust in him after all these years of unbelief does represent the fact that God is gracious. And so he was to be called John, and Zacharias confirmed that, and as soon as Zacharias confirmed that, immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Luke 1 and verse 20 had said, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Now, some think that John not only couldn't speak, but that he couldn't hear, because they point to the writing tablet that was used to evidence that. I really don't know for sure whether that's true or not, but it's perfectly clear that the moment John was named by this prophetic name, then at that point, Zacharias was able to speak. And instead of criticizing God for what he had done, he glorified God. He spoke praising God. And that's what we should do when we realize that God loves sinners, that he loved us enough to send his son for us. Instead of criticizing God for allowing us to be sinners, we should praise God that he has saved sinners, that he has sent his son into the world to save sinners. Paul could say, "Of whom I am chief." And because these things were happening, and they had waited 400 years for these things to start happening, fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. Now, this fear likely was a reverence and anxiety associated with wondering what was going to come. When God speaks, often men fear. We don't need to fear God in our day, because perfect love casts out fear, and the Lord represents the perfect love of God. John 1:4-18 tells us that. But for those who do not repent and turn to the Lord and believe on him, there's a day coming when they will hide themselves in the rocks and caves, and they will try to commit suicide, because the great day of his wrath has come. And they say, "Who shall be able to stand?" We read about that in Revelation chapter 6. And so it's better to trust him than to one day fear him in a day when he cannot be trusted, when the opportunity to be saved is behind us. So we need to respond to what God has said. And if we aren't sure how to respond, at least we should meditate on these things, because all those who heard them kept them in their heart. All those who heard the words of John the Baptist and what had happened kept these things in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" At least they kept an open mind. Now, if your mind hasn't been changed and you haven't trusted in the Lord, at least keep an open mind and be rational about your relationship with the living God, to whom you are accountable, because you do need to believe in him. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. Bless all who are listening. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.